What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Jesus and the Arts podcast. I am your host, Stephen Williams, and I'm here with a special guest, a good friend of mine. He has done many shows with me. The most recent one was Annie Get Your Gun with Inspiring Arts in the summer. He is the one and only Davis Musaraka. Hello, Davis.
Hello, Stephen.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. We just came from playing some golf on the, what's it called? The Acres?
Yeah, it's the Acres.
It was a lot of fun. Good time.
It was.
We are joined by two other guests, his new kittens.
Yeah, Frankie and Louie.
Frankie and Louie, the most adorable creatures ever. They're fighting in their litter box right now. It is absolutely hilarious.
That's awesome.
Cool. All right, sweet. Just going to ask some basic questions, and then we'll get into any questions that pop up in our heads that we just want to ask each other. We'll talk about some shows that we were in and talk about faith and Christianity, but just getting to know you a little bit for the people that don't know you.
Got it.
What grade are you in, and what school do you go to?
Yeah, okay, so I'm in my freshman year of high school, and I go to the one and only Miami Valley Christian Academy.
Yes, the school that all of my guests have been to so far. Guys, I promise I'll have more. I'll find people that don't go to MVCA just so we can talk about stuff besides MVCA theater.
Yeah.
Yes, so how is high school?
Well, to be honest, it's kind of what I expected because, like, ever since middle school, I've kind of been friends with high schoolers and stuff. I've kind of been in that crowd. But the work, not that much, to be honest, but I have a feeling it's going to stock up.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, homework-wise, it was like freshman was okay. Sophomore was okay. Junior year for me was the hardest.
Yeah, that's what I hear all the time.
Yeah, and then senior year is like a piece of cake. I had like two academic classes, and that was it, so.
Did you go for the full day, or did you leave early?
I did, yeah. Oh. I just had, let's see. My two academic classes were English and worldview, which is mandatory. But I took band, and then I had, like, two study halls, and I was a teacher's aide. So I literally just did nothing.
Who did you, or, like, what class did you aid in?
It was lower school, principal.
Oh.
Yeah, I just sat in her office the entire time.
It's kind of chill.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, so freshman year, it's been pretty easy so far. Yeah. I know it's the start of the year. That's awesome. Do you work anywhere currently?
Well, I kind of just finished my few jobs that I have. Mm-hmm. I'm a caddy at Coldstream Country Club, Hyde Park Country Club. I've caddied at Camargo a few times.
Okay.
And Moraine Country Club a few times.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. So, like, you're an employee at all four of those?
Technically, no.
Okay.
Technically, like, they just call me up and they're like, hey, if you want to come in, it's technically not a job, but you can be there
okay.
and you'll get paid.
Oh, okay, nice. That's pretty cool.
Which is technically what a job is, but...
So yeah, yeah.
There's no paperwork.
Okay, nice. Cool. Do you have any, like, crazy stories that you want to share? I haven't heard any of them, so if you have any.
So, my most recent crazy one was this guy was just talking about how he got a brand new set of irons.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on hole 10, center of the fairway, 2-10 out, and he brought out his 7 iron to lay up. He hits it, and the shaft snaps right in half.
No.
Club goes flying, and then I was his caddy, so I had to go run back and get the head. And he was not very happy for the rest of the round and kind of took it out on me.
But, oh, shoot, no. That's terrible. It was like a brand new club?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's terrible. Did you ever... Were you caddy for like a bunch of rich people?
That's all who I caddy for.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
My other crazy one was... It was my third round, and it was, like, completely out of the blue. It was, like, an hour beforehand, when normally it's, like, a day beforehand when they ask you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's my caddy master, which is what the guy who calls us out.
Yeah.
He goes, "Hey Davis, I need a few caddies out today. You think you'll be one of them?" I'm like, it's 9 a.m. and I'm about to go to church. I'm not sure. And then my dad's like, "You're gonna go. You, I have a feeling." So okay. I go. I watch a little bit of church on the way there.
Yeah.
And then I finished off on the way back. But I caddy for this very rich guy who I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
And at the end of the round, he's like, "You did an amazing job. And I'm going to pay you well. What do you normally get paid?" And I say the number. And he goes, "Okay, would you like me to double it, triple it, quadruple it?"
Oh, my
like,
God, bro.
Like, excuse me? So I'm like, I don't comment because I want to get the quadruple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
So he quadruples it, and my mind is blown.
Dang.
I'm on the top of the world for the rest of the week.
And that's amazing.
I'm so glad I got forced to go out there today.
Yeah, oh, my gosh, that's crazy. So what are the responsibilities of, like, being a caddy? Like, okay, what does it look like?
So you basically watch over the guys' clubs.
Mm-hmm.
You carry them all 18 holes. You clean the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
You get yardages. You maintain the greens. So, like, if there's a ball mark, you fix the ball mark. If there needs to be a pin pulled, then you pull the pin and you hold it. It's a lot of etiquette, and it's a lot of being respectful. If you have a golfer that's open to it, you'll memorize his stock yardages for each club, and you'll give him the best opinion on each one. You could tell him what shot shape he should hit, or if he should lay up or not.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff, and I'm probably boring a lot of people right now.
But... No, I mean, the only thing I know about caddies, they're the ones that, like, I just know they follow the golfer around.
Yeah.
But yep. I didn't know that there was more stuff to it than that. So, okay, so if they have a golf cart, do you ride with them?
Or do you just walk? Yeah, I'll ride with them sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll actually drive it for them.
Oh, nice.
Sometimes I'll hang off the back if there's two people.
Yeah.
That's definitely scary once in a while.
Yeah.
Because if they go over a big bump and I almost fall off.
Yeah, yeah. That would hurt.
Yeah. But unlike big tournaments and stuff, normally you'll just drive the cart around. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. That sounds cool. Nice. So is that what you're going to do, like, when school's done? Next summer? Or?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I'll probably do that through high school.
Yeah.
And after high school, then I'll get a job.
It sounds, I mean, it doesn't sound that hard.
Not really.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. Make bank. It's all those rich people.
Yeah, it's a great intro to the golf community.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's awesome. Cool. Let's talk about good old Christianity. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Do you want to share your faith journey, how you came to know Christ?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So, as most of the people that have been on here, I have been in the church ever since I was born.
Yeah.
When I was really little, I was part of the Catholic Church.
Okay.
So we did all that stuff. I used to do, like, the communion classes and stuff,
mm-hmm,
for communion. And as a little boy who can't sit still, didn't really appreciate the classes every Wednesday.
Yeah.
But once I started getting into it and, like, actually asking questions, I went to my grandmother, and she's very, very, very into Christianity.
Yeah.
And she has inspired me, like, with my faith journey and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically brought me to her church, the Presbyterian Church, by,
yeah,
the STEM Center for Inspiring Arts. Yeah, it's really close.
No way.
Yeah, you know Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes to church there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's crazy.
So, anyways, one of the days, I was like, what, 6 or 7?
Yeah, get out of here.
So, and it was the little kids, like, Sunday school.
Yeah.
And at the end, I'm like, "Hey, Grandma, I think I want to accept Jesus into my heart. I think, mm-hmm, I think I want to be a Christian." She's like, "Davis, that's awesome." I'm like, "Yeah?" She's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Well, what do I do?" She's,
yeah,
like, "Well, go tell the pastor."
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, but like, what do I say? I'm like, just tell him what you told me. So I run over to the pastor and I'm like, I want to accept Jesus into my heart. How do I do that? So he takes me into another room with my grandma and do the whole thing where it's like, do you believe in Jesus? Are you going to acknowledge your sins that you've done for like your whole life?
Yeah.
Are you sorry for them? Are you going to repent for them? I'm like, yes, yes, yes. He's like, do you want to have a connection with Jesus? And do you want to like be a part of his family and just know him personally and
yeah.
live for him and spread the gospel? And I'm like, of course. So I do that. And I start reading the Bible like crazy with my grandma. Yeah. I start going to church with her. And I'm getting really, really into Christianity. And then, like, a few years later, in, like, 2020, I think, or maybe 20... No. 20.
Okay.
So I get baptized in 2023, and I'm, like, on top of the moon. I can't stop reading the Bible. And, yeah, it's kind of been steady from then on, and I've just been kind of introducing Christianity with my friends sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What are some challenges that you faced in your life while being a Christian?
Ooh, definitely just like trying to appease people.
Yeah.
Like if I'm in a group of guys at school that are lukewarm Christians and I want to like be a part of that group, but also like have friends with them and also maybe be an influence on them.
Yeah.
With the Christianity thing. I'll like hang out with them and stuff, but one of the struggles is that they see like some of the other Christian kids that are like deep in their faith, but they don't have many friends.
Yeah.
And as like a group decision, when they see that, they're like, oh, they're weird. Let's not hang out with them. Blah, 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 blah. So then when I hang out with the kids that are real Christians and that actually care about their faith and like have a real connection with Jesus, inevitably I'll get like pushed out of the group, which I guess it can be a good sacrifice because it's either you stay in that group and you keep on sinning and you fall further away from Jesus, or you are inevitably persecuted for your faith and you are true to Jesus.
Yeah. No, for sure. I think it's like being a Christian, you have to give up things that you that might drag you further away from God.
That's one of the...
Yeah. Because there are a lot of things in this world that will, that Satan will use to,
of course,
bring you far away from God. And you have to just have the strength to realize that and be like, okay, I'm not going to let that happen. I have to just sacrifice something that has been causing me to kind of grow distant. And by doing that, by sacrificing that, it shows other people, it also shows God that like you're willing to do whatever it takes to just be close to him as much as possible. That's awesome. What is a book of the Bible that you just love reading?
Job.
Your favorite book. Which one?
Job.
Job?
I love Job.
Why?
One is because I can read it like in one day, and I can read it like multiple times. And every time I do read it, I'll discover something new.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that I love about it is just that this guy that's like on top of the world, he's like has all this stuff. He's got an amazing family. He's got all these riches. And then God, like, talks with Satan. He gives Satan permission to, like, take everything away from him because he knows that Job is a true follower of God. Job gets everything stripped away from him. And his children are killed. I mean, he is broke.
Yep.
And he,
he gets boils on him and
stuff.
Yeah, he
gets boils on him, and it's, like, terrible. And I'm like, I don't know how anyone could do that.
Yep.
And his wife is still alive, and she's, like, saying, I can't believe you're still following this God. I mean, look at all the stuff that's been taken away from you because of this. And he's like, I don't care. I'm just going to stay in my faith. And still going to follow him because he's in control. And it's a beautiful story on how he just sticks with God and doesn't fall into temptation, fall into sin, and just be stripped away from him like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of what true Christians are really facing right now, is that they're being so, like, excluded from everything, but also they're being so judged.
Yeah.
When, like, again, like I said, like, lukewarm Christians and stuff, that inevitably, like, when the certain time comes, they'll say that they are Christian, but they won't act like it.
Yep.
And you can't really point them out in a crowd. When, like, you could point out Job in a crowd, you could definitely point him out in the crowd. But, you know, it's...
Yeah, yeah, I think back to your just thoughts on lukewarm Christians, I think Christians that are like that call themselves believers, say, like, oh, I love the Lord, but then you see him outside of church, and they're just doing whatever they want that make themselves happy. You know, as a believer, you know, like in a church, like in our church, our congregation, like we do, by respecting one another, we do it where if a brother or sister is stumbling, like if they are calling themselves a Christian, but then they're not living the gospel out, they're just doing what they want publicly to the point that everybody sees what they're doing and everybody knows that what they're doing is wrong. Like, the congregation will, like, come together and, like, confront that person and be like, look, what you're doing is wrong. And, you know, it's not, they're not judging you harshly. They're judging to let you know that you are, that you're stumbling and that you're sinning.
Well, I wouldn't say that they're judging. I'd say that they're just acknowledging what's happening.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's good.
And they're not being mean.
No.
They're being honest.
Yeah, and they're doing it to, it's a sign of love.
Yeah.
Letting them know.
It's like, hey, I love you so much that I want you to have a relationship with Jesus so that in the end, you won't be separated from him, because we want you to know him and experience that love and just...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're not, like we're not letting you know this because we hate you. We're letting you know this because we care for you and we want you to just realize what you're doing is wrong.
Right. And they're not judging them. They're trying to help them, and they're acknowledging that because they probably have faced something like that before and they've overcome that, and they want you to overcome that and be better and just... Yeah.
Yeah. Shoot, I just had a thought. Now I forgot.
I have a thought.
Yeah, no, go ahead, yeah.
So I feel like what we're talking about right now, some people will think of that it's, like, boring and, like, kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that some people, when they look at Christians, they think that Christianity is, like, a chore, and they have to, like, do this and that to be loved by God, and, like, they're never going to have any fun. But, like, the thing that I kind of learned about Christianity as, like, the years go by and stuff, and, like, different people I meet, like, with this inspiring arts thing, the difference from, like, the theater and stuff.
Yeah.
I have never experienced so many wholesome people that are so deep in their faith that are so fun.
Yeah.
I have not stopped smiling since I got there.
Yeah. I mean, for sure.
It's so fun because the community in general... It's so honest and nice and, like, kind, but also loving. They treat everyone equally and stuff. And there's no, like, evil or wickedness around.
Yeah.
And you can be, like, a true Christian without, like, wanting, like, being excluded out or, like, pointed out or, like, you know, having to fit in when you're fitting in just by being yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're talking about just the environment of inspiring arts.
It's so much, like, I've never experienced much like that.
No,
even at youth groups and stuff, I've never had, like, a really, really good youth group like inspiring arts. I would say it's more like a youth group than an actual theater thing.
Yeah, I would say sometimes, I mean, their main focus is theater, but
still.
They also care about just the community and the friendships that make.
It's more of a family, like they all say.
Yeah. I mean, that's what a lot of people think, that theater is just acting on a stage, but it's more about just the relationships and connections you make with the people that you perform with. and just with Inspiring Arts, like, we made so many connections and so many friends and stuff that we can just keep in contact with. Because some of them go off to college, but most of them are still in high school or homeschooled and stuff like that. So, kitty.
Sorry, continue?
No, you're good. My thought that I lost was, in today's day and age, a lot of believers are afraid to confront one another because they're afraid of, just being insulted or, what's the right word? Just being talked down upon, I guess. Like, they're afraid of speaking up to their friend that's maybe, just addicted to a specific sin. But they're afraid to confront them because they're afraid that just, like,
their friendship will get ruined.
Yeah, their friendship will get ruined. But at the same time, if that friendship gets ruined, then, like,
that's a sign.
That's a sign. And it's also showing that, one, you care for the person, but if they end that friendship or it becomes, like, threatening or dangerous or something, then that friendship wasn't meant to last. And you're better off without it. Yeah. What is... Let's see. Well, here's a fun question. What are your thoughts on Forrest Frank?
Ooh, love that guy.
You like him?
Yeah.
You like his stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that he's young.
Yeah.
And he's deep in his faith.
Yeah.
And he's a great influence on people. And the music that he makes, like the Jesus jams.
Yeah.
The Jesus jams are actually good. Like, they actually sound good.
Yeah.
And I feel like people that, like, listen to music that don't actually listen to the words or listen to the lyrics, they'll come across Forrest Frank.
Yeah.
And some of the times, they'll just keep listening, and those lyrics will actually stick to them and get stuck in their head, and they'll memorize that without even trying. Yeah.
I mean, he makes catchy music.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I think I haven't listened to much of his stuff, and I wasn't a big fan of him, but, like, seeing how many young kids, like, listen to his stuff,
right,
and they know who Jesus is, and then by listening to his stuff, they're like, okay, what's the Bible? And then they go talk to their parents about the Bible. And then they read the Bible, and they're like, okay, this is the same Jesus that this artist was singing about. And then they're like, who is this Jesus guy? And then eventually that leads them to just, like, asking more questions that be like, okay, I want to accept Jesus into my life. It's really just, like, I mean, Christian music, I mean, Forrest Frank is just, like, it's at an all-time high right now.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, he's really, I mean, he's waking up the younger generation, for sure, with his music. Yeah. I'm more of just a good old classic Toby Mac,
dude.
Old Star 93.3.
I get made fun of because of all the old stuff I listen to.
Dude, I'm a fan of just the old stuff.
Dude, I'm an old guy. I'm an old guy.
He's a freshman, but he's secretly 85.
Yeah. In the heart, I'm like 67. And I'm like,
oh my gosh, get out of here.
On the outside, I'm...
No way you just did that.
No.
We went to a...
It's the perfect age.
Inspiring Arts did, like, a square dance last Friday. I'm going to talk about the lady that said that. And the lady that was, like, leading it or showing us how to do it. First of all, I'm just going to say square dance, it was fun. It was a good time.
It was so much fun.
Seeing people. The lady that taught it, she was cool, I guess.
She was awesome. What do you mean she was cool? She was awesome. She was so fun.
Sure. But
she was hilarious.
But the lady that led it was, like, kept making 6-7 jokes. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? That was funny, though. Let's see. Do you have any questions or any thoughts?
So we talked about this in the car on the way.
Okay.
On the way
there. Oh, are we going to talk about
it? Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you open to that?
I don't care.
What is your opinion on altar calls?
Okay, I'm just going to put, this is my opinion, this is Davis's opinion. We're not going to force our opinion on you.
We are not forcing our opinion.
You can have opinion about your stuff on altar calls. If your church does them, cool. That's great.
We are not against that. And if you like them, and if you don't like him, that doesn't mean you're not a Christian.
Yeah, yes.
That doesn't mean you're falling away from God.
Yeah. My church does not do altar calls. I have grown up in this church, and I still go to it to this day, and we have not done an altar call. Nobody goes up to the front during a quiet piano session with the pastor up on stage. Chapels, they started doing altar calls. Being a student, I was like, okay, it's kind of not weirded out, but I was like, okay, this is new. I haven't seen this before. And as many different denominations of churches, and they do altar calls during their chapels. And I was, at first, I was kind of just like, kind of skeptical, but I was like, I don't know what this is. I don't know why people have to go up to the front and get on their knees and touch a stage when they can just accept Jesus in their chair and confess their sins to him in their chair. Like at our church, we do a silence of confession where our pastor or an elder will read a verse and be like, take some time to reflect and confess your sins to Christ that you've done this week. And that's what we do. And we do it in our chairs, and we ask for forgiveness in our seats where we're at. So my biggest thing is like, why do you have to go up to the front and accept Jesus when you can just do it in your chair? And why do you have to make it public, I guess? You know, accepting Christ can be a private thing as well. Like, you can do it in your bedroom. You can do it in your car. You can do it in the shower. I mean,
anywhere.
You can do it anywhere, yeah. It doesn't have to be just in front of your friends. It can be. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. But what I'm saying is you can do it anywhere, anytime, any place. It doesn't have to be in front of a bunch of people. That time is just with you and God, you know?
Yeah. You shouldn't ask, you shouldn't look for other people's approval on your faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's totally the opposite of what Christianity is about.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
It's a relationship with God. You're supposed to acknowledge that and live for him and spread the gospel. You're like altar calls. Like, I feel like the whole thing is, listen, if you're brand new to Christianity, altar calls are great. You experience your first sermon, and you're like, wow, this is fantastic. You go up to the front, and sure, it's that spiritual and emotional high. It feels great in the moment, but then right afterwards, I feel like most people don't change.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that I feel like, my opinion on altar calls, why is it that every, like, sermon or like chapel or something, it's the same spot in your faith? It's always like, you're either brand new to Christianity and you need to accept Jesus, or you've fallen away from Jesus and you need to accept him again.
Yeah.
Or you don't want to accept Jesus and then like you're just out of it. I've always wanted to like be part of like a sermon or a church group or a chapel that's like, hey, we've accepted Jesus. What do we do after that? What do we do after this? What are the consequences? What are the, like, struggles that we're going to go through? What do we have to do to keep this connection and grow deeper? Why is this the whole thing where it's like Jesus is like a stranger to us and we want to meet him? And the whole thing is that we're saying hi during altar calls. But we're also, like, having to show people that, hey, I'm with the whole 90% of the chapel that's walking up to the front of the group. I am one of you, so don't look down on me.
Yeah.
I think I've only gone up to an altar call one time, and that was the first time I've ever experienced one. It was a very odd feeling. I knew something was kind of off, but I didn't know what. And the more I kind of looked into it, and the more I've like experienced, I've realized that it's new Christians and stuff like that emotional high.
Yep.
So altar calls are good for them. But I feel like the seasoned Christians, when they sit in their chair when during an altar call and like everyone else goes up and like you're one of like the small percentage of people that are still sitting down, you're looked at and you feel uncomfortable by the other people that you are not a Christian, you don't care about this, and you're going to sit in your chair and be disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And when really it's like, no, I've already experienced this. Why do I have to restart again?
Yeah, I think it can easily become, if you let it, it can easily be like a peer pressure type thing. And I think if you have people that like go up to an altar call, but then they go to you, they sit back down and you didn't go up with them. And then they're like, why didn't you go up there with us? You know, that's kind of like, if I was that person that like my friend asked me that, I mean, that would just be uncomfortable to talk about.
But then again, that's kind of what Christianity is about. You have to be, you're going to be uncomfortable for the rest of your life.
No, for sure.
Experience all that stuff.
Yeah. I think nowadays, you know, you talked about emotional highs and spiritual highs, which, I do not believe those are good. To having a spiritual high. Yeah, you can have a spiritual high coming back from a church camp. Like, you can feel, quote unquote, on fire for Jesus. But that fire should never go away.
Right.
If it goes away, then you are just going back to living your normal life, doing things of the world.
People do it so quickly. They try to dive into it when they're not. Like, they don't take it slow, and they don't, like...
Yeah.
They don't try to make it last.
Yeah. No, for sure. Like, coming back... Okay, you go to a church camp for a week, and you're feeling on fire for Jesus because you had two sessions a day, and before each sermon, you sang five songs with thousands of people.
And all those emotions are hitting you.
All those emotions are hitting you. Like, I've experienced that. And you just feel really good. You're like, wow, I can fly. I can do miracles. And then you go back home. You have church once a week. You go to school. You go to work. You're doing schoolwork. Slowly but surely, you start to lose that burning for Jesus. You go to church. Oh, it kind of sparks up a little bit. But then you go back to school. You go back to work, and it dies down.
Yeah.
To the point that the next camp you go to, you feel on fire for Jesus again. It's a pattern. What I'm saying is it should not be a pattern. It should be a constant. You should constantly pursue the Lord. You should constantly be excited to go to church. You should constantly be excited to read the Bible, to have those conversations with people.
Your whole faith shouldn't just be like a big motivation thing.
Yeah.
You should be disciplined in your faith and on a constant track of like following Jesus.
Yes.
You shouldn't have all these ups and downs with him.
Yeah. That's good. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. People that are listening, if your church does altar calls, again, not saying
nothing's wrong with
anything.
That.
There's nothing bad about it. I just go to a church where we don't do that, so I have different beliefs on it. But
just
I think the biggest thing is, as long as your church, as long as your pastor is preaching the gospel, as long as he is saying that Jesus was 100% God, 100% man, he died on the cross for our sins, he rose again 3 days later, and he is now sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, and he is coming back one day to take his children up to heaven with him. As long as he says that, then you are going to a Bible-believing church. If your pastor twists the gospel to make it sound all good, sunshine, and rainbows, and your pastor doesn't talk about the challenges you will face, the obstacles that you might encounter, maybe you should start questioning the church that you go to. Or maybe you should let your pastor know, hey, this is what the Bible actually says about the gospel, about Jesus. Yeah. Good question.
Yeah.
Let's dive into Theta.
Ooh.
Yay. Talk about the show you're doing right now.
So I'm doing The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe at Miami Valley Christian Academy. I am Peter. The eldest brother that goes into this magical world through a wardrobe and then has all these insane battles with the witch. And then...
Do you kill her? No. Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it, actually. Don't say who died. How she
I already
dies.
Did.
Well, don't say how she dies. Oops, sorry, cat.
I won't.
That's cool. So, yeah, you're doing it with Eve and Sam. Eve is not in your cast.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a whole thing.
Yeah, she is. So you're Friday and Saturday night, and she's Thursday and Saturday at 1.
Yeah, she's okay. Kind of salty about that,
too. Yeah, I know. She's shared her 2 cents.
Yeah.
Are rehearsals fun? Are you enjoying it? I know Tech Week starts this week.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Okay. I love that. That's cool. Let's talk about the last show that we were in together, which
Ooh.
I didn't think that he would be in it. So here's the story. Okay. So
wonderful story.
My last show.
Wait. What? We'll do your standpoint on it.
Yeah. Okay.
Your experience.
Okay.
How it went in your whole thing.
Yeah.
And we'll do my whole thing.
Okay. Cool. Okay. So the last show at MVCA senior show was Sound of Music. That was the last time I thought that I would ever do a show with Davis. And then, so I auditioned for Inspiring Arts. They were doing Annie Get Your Gun, and I auditioned.
How did you find Inspiring Arts?
How did I find Inspiring Arts? I was sitting at a restaurant with my mom looking up theater companies in Cincinnati, Ohio, and it was the third or fourth one down. I was like, oh, what's this? And I saw that they were doing an Irving Berlin show, and I was like, oh, I know Irving Berlin. He did White Christmas, Holiday Inn. I was like, okay, I'll check it out, listen to the music. Turned out music was really good. Got a call back. Got Frank, showed up to the second rehearsal, because the first rehearsal was my graduation. So I showed up to the second rehearsal, and Davis is in the auditorium.
Yep.
I'm like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I auditioned. I was like, why didn't you tell me? Like, I wanted to surprise you. And so we did the show together, and it was a great time.
Yeah.
Met wonderful people, and hopefully he'll do the summer show again, so we'll do another show together. Okay, now your perspective.
Okay, so I'm going for a hot second here.
Okay.
Way back a few years ago.
Okay.
So my grandma took me to see this show. It's called Horizons of Gold. It was a ton of fun. It was great show to watch. The whole community was amazing. I mean, I could tell. I thought this was so professional that, and the kids that are doing it that are my age, I could never be like that.
Okay, so did you, okay, pause, time out. Did you see their Horizons of Gold, like, that Matt and Brighton were in? Like, because they did it twice.
I don't remember.
Okay, what year did you go?
I think it's 2019.
Okay, maybe? Yeah, I believe they did.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Anyways, so I find out from someone at school late in the day that Steven is doing a show. And I'm like, oh, okay, where's it at? They're like, oh, it's with this theater company called Inspiring Arts. And I'm like, huh, that sounds familiar. So I'm like, so what show is it? She's like, it's called Annie Get Your Gun. I'm like, I have never heard of that a day in my life. And she's like, you know, like Doris Day. Oh, that Annie Get Your Gun. She's like, yeah. So I'm like, well, when are the auditions? She's like, funny thing is, they already happened. And I'm like, so then why are you texting me? She's like, well, the director knows someone, like the teacher at school, the Spanish teacher at school, that,
yeah,
Senora, that they want two strapping young lads to do it. And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, so what do? She's like, well, you got to go on the website, got to email her, and all this and that, introduce
yep.
yourself. So I go and do my audition on the callbacks or some of these, with the callbacks
okay.
or some of these people. And I am just, I'm shaking.
Like, yeah.
I'm so scared because I've never done anything outside of MVCA. And it's so good. I mean, even my audition, their callbacks, they were doing this choreography, and I'm like, wow, it's so much fun, and
mm-hmm.
it's complex, but I'm picking it up immediately. So I'm doing that, and I'm like, I don't see Steven here. I'm like, where is he? I'm like, I knew he'd be doing it, but where is he? So I get ensemble on the show, and I'm like, okay, this is fun. I'm excited. I go to the first rehearsal, and I see Ethan the Castleman.
Yeah.
And
you didn't know he was in it.
No.
Okay.
And I'm like, Ethan, what are you doing here, bro? And he's like, oh, it's one of the strapping young lads. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, where's Steven? He's like, oh, he's at graduation.
Yeah.
And oh, okay, that's perfect, because he's not going to realize I'm in the show until the second rehearsal. He's like, yeah. So the second rehearsal comes, see Steven there. He's freaking out.
Yeah.
He's like, what are you doing here? I have no idea. Blah, 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 blah.
I know.
And then, yeah. I also found out later on in the dance room that Inspiring Arts did Horizons of Gold. And the people that I thought I would never do a show with because it's so good, I'm in a show with them
yep.
right now.
That's crazy.
I was just I was shocked. Like I said before, I couldn't stop smiling.
Who told you about it?
Yeah.
I'll probably...
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's okay, nice. That's cool. Yeah, it was crazy. Walking in, seeing Davis, I was like, okay, what the heck is he doing here? That was so fun. But it was good, because I did a show with you and Ethan one last time. And now you're doing the performance class. Well, because the show, you...
can't.
Yeah.
It's okay. I still did go to the rehearsals.
Okay.
I can't go anymore because of Tech Week.
Yeah.
But, again, so much more fun than, yeah, like, an actual show.
Yeah.
Just that whole community.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I wish you did the acting class with me. I'm the only guy. Kind of stinks. Really feel alone without you there, Davis.
I'm not allowed to be there, though, because I'm not in the 10th grade.
Oh, shoot. That's true. Never mind. Dang it.
Yeah, cry all you want. I'm not going to change.
It's okay. Beth would have made an exception for you, I bet. Maybe. Mm. Anyway. But yeah, we did Annie Get Your Gun together. It was a great experience. Actually performed on a real stage.
Amazing.
Great stage.
Great. Amazing stage.
A lot of people said it was really small, but I'm like, this is the biggest
this
stage I've actually been on, so.
Massive.
But that was great. Great environment, great community, a lot of fun. Yeah, I know we talked about earlier, just, I was like, that's probably like the most I've laughed with a company before. Just so much fun.
My cheeks, like, my cheekbones and my face muscles
hurt
so bad afterwards because I couldn't stop smiling. I probably got bruised or something, I don't know, but it was bad.
Yeah. No, it was a ton of fun. Definitely a great experience. Yeah, meeting a ton of people. What was your favorite scene in Annie Get Your Gun? I think I know it.
Wait, say it on three. Three,
two,
one.
Defenses are down. I knew it. Oh, I knew it, bro. Yeah. That was such a fun song. Oh, my gosh. Great song.
Choreography was awesome. Singing was awesome. Watching you get picked up was awesome.
Yep. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it was so hard, like, because it wasn't our main choreographer that did it. It was, gosh. No, yeah.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah,
it was Carrie Marsh's daughter. I forget what her name is, but she did the choreography, and you know, like trying to do choreography with 12 guys, like who just want to talk and just laugh and not do anything, and just screw around. Yeah, I remember I think I was gone when you guys did most of the choreo.
Yeah, that was
because I was on a youth trip, and so when I came back, I think it was trying to teach it to me, but I was just like, I don't think I ever really got it down until like we were actually there at Parrish Auditorium.
Yeah, 100%.
Because I was like, oh, you're supposed to do this.
We didn't get it down either till we got to Parrish because the auditorium that we had was like so different.
Yeah,
and
it was
like
different.
There was so much more space in the place that we were
doing
it beforehand, and it was just we had to adjust a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm not complaining though because it looked really good in the end.
It did for sure. Yes, and you get your gun. Great show. Okay, here we go. I want to do this. Rank all the shows you've been in from worst to best.
Oh, dude, I can't wait. I can't do that.
Actually, no. Let's do this. I have a better idea. We're gonna do blind ranking. So I'm going to give you the shows that you've been in, like five of them, and you have to choose, but you don't know what the next one is.
What?
Okay, blind. So like...
Oh, wait, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
I gotcha.
Cool. So we're... Okay, so I'm going to give you five. I think you've been in more than five at least.
100%. I've been like 20.
Okay. Okay. So let's do Aladdin Jr.
Five?
Okay.
Wait. You know what? Four.
Four,
because that was my first one, but it's like, it was bad because like they put me as a servant and all the servants were girls, so I was like the only servant.
Right.
So then they had to like do an on the spot change, and I was Prince Abdullah, which no one knows who
that is.
But I was also a guard, and it was like a lot more fun because it was like on the spot. Yeah, I only during Tech Week I was on stage once.
Dang.
Cooper, never mind. Just say Cooper.
Yeah.
He said that he would get like all the nights, and then I just get like the matinee.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. This is my first show ever, and I'm like, okay, with NBCA, and I'm like, okay, that's, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And then the directors are like, you're not supposed to say line. You're supposed to have these memorized. And I'm like, well, this is my first time being on stage. And
yeah.
Like, oh, I did not know that. And they're like, who said that? And I'm like, Cooper. So that was bad.
Okay, so you said four?
Four. Sorry, forgetting off.
Let's do It's a Wonderful Life.
Dude, that's... Oh, I gotta say three, because I know there's gonna be better ones.
Okay.
Oh, but it's so good. First high school show.
Yes. First show we actually did together.
Yeah.
Yep, you were my brother.
That was your brother.
Yep.
Harry Bailey.
Yes.
First high school show that I did in the seventh grade.
That was seventh grade? Oh, yeah. My gosh, dude.
Dude, seventh grade high school shows, and then like I kept doing it since like eighth grade.
That's right. Okay. Let's do Joseph.
Dude, I can't put it at two, and I can't put it at five, and I can't switch it around.
No, you can't.
Okay, so Joseph was all singing, a lot of choreography, so much fun, but, dude, I feel like there's gonna, a lot of people love that show, but I feel like I'm not like one of the I don't. I liked you being Joseph. That was awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't want to say it's one of my favorites, but I know there's going to be a worse one, so I'm putting it at two.
Okay. Willy Wonka.
No. It
was
so dirty.
I knew it.
Five.
Okay. And then, last but not least, your number one is going to be Annie, Get Your Gun.
Yes.
Imagine if I didn't say it.
If you said, like, what? Seussical.
Seussical.
Yeah, the one that got... Yeah.
Because you were Wickersham, right? You were Wickersham, brother? Yeah. I think. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was amazing. Okay, do it for me.
That was the second time I did Seussical, but the first time got canceled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dude, do it for me, dude.
Okay.
Do it for me.
Five shows.
Yes.
You have to blind them. You have to rank them blindly.
Okay.
First one up, It's a Wonderful Life.
That was a difficult show.
A lot of dialogue
I had to memorize. Dialogue. A lot of songs I had to memorize. I'm going to say, let's go with four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Christmas Carol.
Oh, I forgot I was in that. It's the first play I ever did.
I thought, never mind.
No, that was the first play. Like, first play.
Oh, play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did have a lot of fun being Bob Cratchit. That was good. I'll put it at three.
Okay. Let's see. Wait, I can't do that one. Sound of Music. That was an interesting show for you.
Yeah, it was. I loved doing it with Riley was a lot of fun. Our chemistry was top notch. But I'm just because I know that there's better ones out there that I'm hopefully you're gonna pick, I'm just gonna put it at five.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, it's nothing bad. I'm just waiting for you to say.
I think I know what you're talking about. Annie, Get Your Gun.
Okay, I'm gonna put it at. I'm gonna put it at one.
Music Man.
Music Man's two. That's what I was waiting for you. I was waiting for you to say.
Yeah, I was waiting for Music Man to be the last one. And I'm like, I think you like Annie more.
So. I did, but Music Man was just so great. I loved Music Man. Did you see that?
I saw half of it.
Okay.
And I don't think it was your cast. Were you in Beauty and the Beast?
I was.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast?
Wait.
I mean, you already did five.
Yeah.
But...
You have to do... Wait, no. That's six.
Yeah.
That's
okay. I was in Beauty and the Beast. Did you see that?
I saw half of it. Okay. Yeah. When I was little, and I... Well, I was little then because...
Yeah.
Not in high school. But I didn't actually... See it like the full shows. I'd leave it like intermission with my grandparents because they're old and tired.
Yep. That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's good blind rankings. The heck was that?
I gotta fix
Frankie's
Conor.
Yeah, go ahead.
About that.
Okay, so we just did blind ranking. Let's see.
You'll probably cut that out.
I'll
good.
Or I just leave it and make it super awkward.
That would be very bad.
I'm just kidding. Okay, Sorry, I'm just getting distracted at this cat.
This thing is insane.
Which is terrible, because I wish we were actually video recording so you guys could see what's going on, but...
Yeah, they're adorable.
They are. What is one thing about shows that you just, in every show that you've been in, what is one thing that you just always enjoy about it? Whether it's like performing, having fun with people backstage,
dude, I gotta
eating
say,
food with people afterwards.
I gotta say, backstage, the thing is with the eating food with people afterwards, my parents have always been like, yeah, you're either not doing that because when I'm not paying for food and I'm not making a kid pay for your food.
Yeah.
Or the thing is, like, I don't want to have to stay up late just to wait for you to get home.
Yeah.
So it's always, like, since I can't drive, I have to just go home immediately afterwards. So I've never really experienced that before. But based off of what I've heard and seen in videos and stuff, I kind of miss out on it. But
yeah. Well, you'll get your license soon.
Yeah. The sitting backstage, I feel like that's the most fun just because that's probably when you laugh the hardest because you have to be quiet, but you also like are with the people that like you really care about. And it's like fun, or the people that you like despise and they're like getting yelled at. That's also fun.
Yeah,
didn't experience any of that though. Like the despising people though, and Annie Get Your Gun, because everyone there is awesome.
Yeah,
it was a little different because it was so wholesome and fun. And
backstage, Annie Get Your Gun was just funny. Was that one time? Was it? Oh, brought that bug in like outside.
Ooh, yeah,
dude, that was weird.
I think he's still mad at me about that.
Didn't you?
I crushed it.
Yeah, you crushed it. He like brought it in. It was a live show.
It was a live show. It was backstage. Everyone was quiet.
Yeah,
he brought this thing that looked like it was from like the dinosaurs.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It had spikes on its back. And it looked like a spider and a cricket combined.
I know. I was like, what is this?
This thing is disgusting and crazy, and it's probably from hell.
And he like walks in and he goes,
it's like crawling on his hand.
Guys, I have a friend. I'm like, dude, that is not your friend. Like, get that away. It was disgusting. I was like, what are you doing? And then Davis, I just remember you freaked it. You were like, what the heck?
Dude, I was like actually scared. Because he kept, it was on his hand. It was crawling on his arm. And it like, I kept like freaking out.
And his girlfriend was like, Eli, what are you doing, you idiot?
He's like,
so
what?
Funny.
It's cute.
I know.
And then he puts it down in the grass. He's like, goodbye, friend. And I wait till he's on the other side of the stage, and I run over and I crush it.
Yeah.
And then there's a witness, and then I can't tell her to, like, be quiet. And then she runs immediately to Eli. It's like, he just crushed the,
dang it.
Like, your friend. Excuse me?
Yeah.
That was a bad impression. Like, first, like, impression.
It was like, I hate you.
Yeah.
You destroyed my friend. No. It was backstage, Annie Get Your Gun was
watch
fun.
Him get cancer from that thing, and then like, well, save you.
Even though backstage was pretty tiny, especially on stage left, it was still like
so much fun.
A lot of fun. For sure. Yeah.
I'm going to think of a question for
you. Yeah, go ahead.
What has been your favorite experience in shows? What has been your favorite experience in shows throughout your entire theater career?
Favorite experience?
Yeah. Or, like, favorite experience, and then also your favorite, like, thing to do, like, backstage talk, or just mic checks and, like, being funny, or...
I think...
Or even, like, getting casted, or, like, practicing for a role that you really want.
Yeah. This is gonna be really weird, but I think that I love every single time, I love just when everybody just bows. Love that.
Dude,
I love when all the characters bow. Like, I'm not trying to sound arrogant when I say I come out last and everybody's
celebrating for you.
But
and
I
everyone stands up at that point.
Yeah, but I love it so much because it just, everybody just, audience is clapping. Everybody's supporting each other.
They had a good time. That's that when you realize that they had a good time and, like, all that work that you put into it.
Yeah.
And it's paid off and the lights are shining in your eyes, but then also the state, like, the lights in the audience are on. You get to see all these people's faces. Mm-hmm. You could see some people that are crying because they loved it so much.
Yep.
Some people that are stone cold and they're like, I was forced to be here, but that was still pretty good.
Yep. No, I agree. I got to say, bows are always great. And then I think the fun times, just like the weird conversations in dressing rooms.
Yeah.
And of course, we've had some really weird ones in the MVCA changing rooms, but Annie Get Your Gun conversations in the dressing room I was in was actually like kind of interesting. We talked a lot about theology.
Were you in, like, the quick change one?
I was in the quick change one.
Okay, because I was in the, like, the one upstairs, and I was with, like, all the kids that are my age.
Yeah. Well, you were with Ethan and all the other cowboys.
Yeah, we did crossword. No, we did word searches in the back.
Nice.
Dude, I love word searches so much.
Yeah.
Those who supported me in my word search career, I thank you. I got 4 pages done one day.
Let's go.
Pretty sick.
That's amazing.
Pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think there, you got some weird conversations in
100%.
Changing rooms, but they're, you know, there are ones that you remember, especially looking back on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I always love eating food after a show.
You're exhausted, but it tastes so good.
It tastes so good.
Dude, not going to lie. If you have, like, canes afterwards, but it's been in, like, not, like, fresh canes where it's kind of dry.
Yeah.
I'm going to sound so weird. But when it's, like, in the box for a little bit. Dude. I'm so weird saying that out loud. But it's like the nostalgia of, like, going to a picnic with your grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, hey, guess what? I'm like, what? She's like, I brought canes. Sure, the fries are soggy, but they're still intact, so it's pretty good.
That's a weird take that someone said.
It's a terrible take.
That's
I'm going to get flamed by everyone.
Yeah, I just think, because that's when you, like, actually get to know the people that you're with, like, in the show. Not only because of the rehearsals, but then when you grab food with them, they tell you about the program because they've been in it for a while. And then you just relationships and friendships form.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Gotcha. What has been, like, would you say you've made friend? Like, do you think you'll make more friendships, like, as Inspiring Arts goes on throughout the years than you have made in high school shows?
Yes. For sure.
How long do you think you'd be in that theater company? Like, do you think
Inspiring Arts?
Yeah.
Well, I would want to do the summer show every year. I think that would be just a lot of fun.
Do you think when you're an adult, like, I know you're already an adult right now, but like
when I have a family and stuff?
Yeah. Are you gonna be like one
full-time
of those
job?
Yeah, like one of those moms that's like, I'm gonna take off work and then, like, go with my son and do it.
Or maybe
one of the dads.
Or I might pull what Jeff did as Buffalo Bill and you know, like, worked but then came to rehearsals. I don't know. I think that would just be fun because, like, you know, the older you get, you know, the stuff that you used to do when you were young, like, I'm the kind of person that, like, you know, doesn't want to give those up. So, like, the older I get, you know, like, sure, life becomes more busy, but, like, I would always love to just, like, find a theater company or, like, just stay with Inspiring Arts and just, like, come back and do a summer show because that's, like, all ages. That's, like, I don't know, freshman year to, freshman or eighth grade year.
Seventh grade year?
Okay. Yeah. Seventh grade to just however old you are and just do it. I'm all for it. I would love to do it every year. Yeah. I'll probably do it next summer. I don't know what the show is. A lot of people are saying it's McBride's Call. I want it to be Music Man. I just think it would be fun to be in Music Man again.
Let's see. What are some controversial hot takes that, like, will get people, like, when to listen more to this?
Like, does it have to deal with theater or can it just be anything?
Anything.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Should we get into sports? Should we get into?
Yeah, I don't have any I don't have any sports hot takes.
Okay.
I know sports, but I'm not just, like, huge. That's my brother. I have a hot take. It's probably about movies. Any of my hot takes will be about movies.
I love movies.
Okay, good. For the people that don't like movies, like, something's wrong with you.
Only scroll and doom scroll and, like,
yeah,
get that little source of dopamine from people that don't have talent.
Yeah.
And then make stuff.
What is a hot take for a movie? Okay. You go. Wait. If you have one, go ahead.
Okay. Is it a sin to watch a movie that has, like, secular music and has, like, sinful desires and, like, some of the scenes with some of the characters? Is it a sin to watch it?
Oh, man. That's tough. It's you.
Gosh.
like if you watch like a movie of like John Wick or something, where it's like a killing spree, and it's like the story of how this guy's wife died.
I think how my parents have explained it, and a teacher of mine explained it. It's like, you know, those movies aren't real in real life.
It's all fiction.
It's all fictional. You watch it, you let it stay fictional, or you can be
one of the weirdos.
One of the weirdos and live it out. And I think, okay, like John Wick, that's a different type of just like, if you live that out, then, you know, you might want to recheck your life.
Yeah.
But if you're like, if there's a movie or a show and there's just some inappropriate stuff, unfortunately, you know, that stuff can tempt a lot of people to, you know, be tempted with certain things. And unfortunately, a lot of movies nowadays, I feel like, are always have to have a kissing scene, romantic scene.
Yeah, because that appeals to a certain audience.
Because that appeals to a certain audience, yeah. Now, is it a sin to watch movies that have that in it? I don't think so. What we do is when something like that comes on, we skip it. You have to have the self-control to do that, of course. But I don't think it's a sin to watch a movie that has it in it. I think it's a sin if you dwell on it and linger on it and think about it after the scene is over. That is when that becomes a problem, and that is when that becomes a sin. And that's lust.
Could I share my opinion?
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like when you're watching a movie and like some inappropriate stuff comes on, I feel like if you're watching a movie to enjoy it and you're enjoying that entire movie, even that like that scene that's part of the movie, I feel like that can be a sin if you're enjoying that secular stuff that's like also inappropriate. I feel like it can be a sin because you're enjoying the sin and like you're letting it dwell on you, like you said. The thing with me is that like some of the good stuff that like is well made, like The Chosen and stuff, that's like some of like the rare like films and like TV shows that are made that are like actually like honoring God and stuff and that have like good filmmaking and stuff.
Yeah.
And I love movies. I mean, I love them so much.
Yep.
But there's always like this little part of me, I think it's the Holy Spirit, that's like basically telling me like, hey, this stuff's inappropriate.
Yeah.
Maybe you should stop watching it. Yep. It's not honoring Jesus.
Yep.
I feel like that sticks with me a bunch.
Yeah.
And I feel I've kind of been changing a little bit with that, like Quentin Tarantino movies and stuff, like with all that blood and gore and stuff. Mm-hmm. I used to really like that stuff because of how well like the cinematography and stuff and the videography and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought that he was so talented with all of his like different shots and stuff. But at the same time, it's like it's not honoring God. And I love movies so much, and that's what I struggle with because I know some of it's bad and I need to check myself.
Yeah. No, I think it really just depends on, you know,
if you enjoy the inappropriate stuff.
Yeah. Like the movie you pick, you know, say you're late night, you're sitting down, say you want to put on a superhero movie, you know, has some profanity in it, has someone sharing a quick kiss, you know. I think as long as you just like what I said, you don't like dwell on it, you don't think about it, you don't take it too far, then I think it's okay. Now my other thing is like,
Kitty, stop.
Stop biting the wire. Stop biting the wire.
What movies that I will never watch are movies that dwell with satanic and demonic stuff. Like horror movies.
Yeah.
That deal with that. I will stick by that. I'm just not gonna watch stuff like that. Like, there's a movie that came out back in September, I think, called Weapons. And it was a horror movie. And it looked really cool. I was like, that looks so cool. And then I read the summary, and it told me that there was witchcraft and some demonic stuff in it. And I was like, I don't want to watch it. I mean, I can't watch that. because that just, you know, that's just something that I live by. Movies that just deal with that stuff, that just, they don't really sit right with me. So I've just, you know, not going to watch stuff that have that in it.
I feel like the other thing is where, like, if you're watching a movie and it has, like, inappropriate stuff in it, and you're enjoying it, it's kind of like the equivalent of going to, like, I don't know where this is coming from, but, like, let's say you go to, like, a pride festival to, like, preach the gospel and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you're showing the love of Jesus and stuff. Technically, you being there, you being in that spot with that happening is not a sin, but I feel like you enjoying it and being a part of it is. And I feel like that can be kind of similar to movies where it's like you're watching the movie and if, like, you know it doesn't sit well and you don't like it, but you're kind of being forced to watch it somehow, that's not a sin because in your heart you're like, I don't accept this part of it.
Yeah.
But then again, you could also be watching a movie and you just, like, don't like or don't accept. You're disgusted by the fact of, like, that inappropriate stuff. I don't feel like that's a sin.
Yeah. No, I think it just comes down to what your intentions are.
Right.
And what you choose to dwell on and think on. What's another hot take?
Cats or dogs?
Cats or dogs?
Do the pros and cons real quick.
Pros and cons? Okay, pros for cats. I don't know. There's definitely some pros. I think they're not as needy.
Okay. You know? They're more like...
They're more chill.
I'm on my own.
Yeah.
If you want to pet me.
Which
is, me.
I kind of like that. I think when I have an apartment of my own, when I have a wife and we're, like, newly married, I think having a cat is fine.
Would you rather have a cat where, like, you could leave the house for a few days and, like, the cat would be fine if he has, like, a full thing of water and food,
yeah,
and it can survive on his own, or a dog where you have to, like, take it on walks and stuff and
I would rather
show it constant
attention. I would
rather have a
cat. I think I would have a dog when I have a family with kids.
Yeah, because then you can make the kids take care of the dog. And you get to do the same thing that you do with cats and just, like,
that's
just
not
sit in the same room with them. And, like,
that's not what I was thinking, but yeah, that actually works really well. I actually like that idea. Thanks, Davis. I'll just have the...
I love dogs, though.
Yeah, I do, too. I would do, too. I don't really favor any of them, to be honest. I love my dog. I love my cats. I love all dogs. I love some cats.
Some cats are mean.
Some cats are mean.
Some dogs are mean.
Some dogs are mean.
It's all personality.
It is.
You can't just narrow it down. Like, if you have one bad experience with a cat, and it, like, hisses at you or, like, bites your hand, that's not all cats. I mean, look at Frankie over here. He's got a cone on his neck. He looks severely uncomfortable, but, you know, you stick your finger near his nose, give him a little boop.
Yeah.
He doesn't bite. He's just like, all right, say something, Frankie. And he's not going to say anything because he's quiet, unlike dogs, which bark. Although I must say, that is, again, kind of personality because we have a fat cat upstairs. It's basically 17 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
And she cries loud at night. It's like a dog. She barks, but she cries.
That's crazy. Okay, one last one, and then I'm going to have to end the podcast.
All right.
Movies or TV shows?
Okay. Can I say something real quick
about
them? The more movies you make on a certain storyline, it's going to get dull. It's going to get boring. But the more seasons that come out with TV shows, it's going to get even better. You're going to like it more and more. But then again, it can also be flip-flop.
Yeah, or it could really suck.
Or it could be really bad. But it all depends. Me personally, I like movies a lot more than TV shows.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
Let's say if you stop paying attention on a TV show and, like, you miss an episode or something, or you just stop paying attention, then you're gonna miss that and you're gonna get caught up and you'll be like, wait, where did this come from? Why it came from this episode and now it's in this episode? What are we doing? What?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree.
But then again, people run out of ideas. And
yeah,
that,
no, that's true.
That ruins things.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta go with movies. They're just like one director, my favorite, Christopher Nolan, he just, like, he uses the same theme, which is time, but he makes completely different movies that all revolve around time, and it's just great. I just love it
awesome.
Much. Yeah.
All right.
All righty, well, Davis, thank you for being on the podcast.
Of course.
I hope everybody enjoyed listening to us just
blab
and talk. Hopefully you guys don't get bored. Hopefully this is an episode where you guys can just like work on something while listening to it. And it can just be in the background.
Hopefully the end about like cats, dogs, and wet canes didn't freak you out. Yeah, right. Also, not soggy. A little damp.
Okay. All right, Davis. Okay. I will see you guys next week for another episode for Jesus and the Arts. God bless you guys.
Bye, guys.